particular
mom,
for those who are pregnant.
So, and I'm here to help you build healthy habits that actually commit
out
your life.
In February, this, you might be hitting this in
teach
July,
you how
September,
to get the results that you want
now,
and
whenever
maintain the results
it's
that you want
to you. I know I do
spending
that.
Hours
with
at the gym
podcast,
or
I will
meal prepping
through
all
or,
weekend long.
You know,
I understand. I am right here with you, getting my workouts done in the
Judah
and Micah of time.
With
looking
Judah,
up recipes while nursing babies,
this,
and trying to prioritize
my essential
birth
is the name of the podcast, and I listen to that during my pregnancy.
But I have really good news for you. You can get the results you want,
you know,
in less time
bag,
without doing hours of cardio and restrictive
like
dieting.
And then I hit it again when I was pregnant with Micah 2
strength training
ish years later, a little less than 2 years later.
To
just
get
for
you
a recap
feeling
on
so
things.
Good in your skin,
you know,
full of energy,
touch base
and
on it.
Strong
sorry, I have
to
been
carry out your life.
Right out of the
okay,
I
on
was
this podcast,
upstairs
delve into
by
how
the baby.
To lose
and
fat.
Like,
in
you know
a
what?
Simple,
he's sleeping really well.
Way.
If I lose my voice, I'll probably wake up.
But your workouts
so
and nutrition
all my stuff.
Should look like your different seasons of life, like during pregnancy and postpartum times.
So I should have.
We'll also discuss healthy quick meals.
But it's all right.
And how to get them on the table. Make food that kids will actually want to eat.
I am not. I'm recording this.
Mom hacks for making your day run more smoothly and so much more.
All the while, time to talk about this.
Encouragement to stay the course.
I will preface
with discipline.
This episode by saying
this is a
I have a full
striving to
work
steward our bodies
so
well.
This includes
in
everything I'm going
to
talk about today.
I've
got
so
full length
happy
videos, got PDFs, and once you purchase it, it's lifetime access. So I have tons of ladies who go through this all the time. Some of you might even be listening who are going through the program now. This is all kind of done for you. I also want to let you know though, if you're not ready for the program, or a lot of times I'll get messages from ladies like at week 30 or 33, and they're like, I don't want to purchase this now. I'll just hit you when it's the postpartum program, which totally makes sense. I get that. I do have, though, 3 free workouts for you. If you go to the link in my Instagram bio, free pregnancy workout challenge, you sign up, you'll get a workout each day for 3 days in a row to your inbox. Totally free. I just put those in a special like YouTube link thing so that you can try those out and you could reuse those. A friend of mine did that. She was about 28 weeks and I just sent her that link and she just used those 3 for the rest of her pregnancy. They're all safe to be used at any point in pregnancy. So with that being said, there are modifications that I have other podcast episodes you may have already listened to, but if not, I want to direct you back to those that you can listen to about specific modifications for each trimester of pregnancy because it does differ. First trimester, certain things you want are okay, like laying flat on your back, but might not be okay in second and third. So I'm not going to go into modifications today. I'm just going to get into exercises that are really important for helping you out with pregnancy. Now, really interesting. I was just reading today. I didn't screenshot it or put it down anywhere, but I was reading a journal about exercise and pregnancy and about how the aspect of training through fatigue and through like the benefit that exercise during pregnancy has on helping you to push through when you're even tired can actually result in more natural births and avoiding C-sections. It was very interesting. There were caveats. They said provisions are made in the study for taking into consideration like the items that are already factors that can sometimes contribute to C-sections. Like there are certain age parameters and things like that. And they already accounted for that. And then they did the study of women who they had workout during pregnancy. And even though they were fatigued during the actual like workout time itself afterward, they cited, you know, more energy than prior and whatnot. So they already were getting immediate benefits from exercise itself during pregnancy. And this was actually specifically strength training. And then following those participants, there was like way fewer C-sections that it ended up in. Now, I know this is like so many caveats. You'd have to check out the journal for yourself. I've got to look it up. I had it pulled up on my phone. And then I have since had to refer back to my recipe. So I lost where the actual one was. Let me see if I can find it quickly. If not, I can put a link to it in the show notes. I will do that. Here we go. It's a PubMed article. So feelings of fatigue and low energy are common problems during pregnancy. A prospective study showed that fatigue was the most common symptom reported by pregnant women. That totally makes sense. If you're listening to this, you probably have been tired. Fatigue during pregnancy reduces quality of life and can predict cesarean delivery after controlling for age and you know, the OB word risks. Okay. Potential, it's not obstetrician. It's like obstetrical. Okay. I don't know. I haven't read that out loud before. Potential contributions to fatigue that can co-occur with pregnancy include poor sleep, various medical conditions, and physical inactivity. So then they talked about how they had people doing 20 minutes or more of low to moderate intensity exercise, how mood, energy, all that was increased, and, you know, so on and so forth with that. It was interesting. And I was thinking about this for a bit, and I know this is not, you know, everybody's different births. I could easily, any of mine could have ended in cesareans. That happens. Some people need to schedule cesareans. Like every birth is so different. And I'm not here to talk about what's best or this or that. Obviously, I think most of us could agree if we could deliver vaginally, we'd prefer to. And I was just thinking about this, though, my last delivery, which was a week ago. So again, very fresh. This was the most tired I'd ever been during labor and delivery. I don't know if ever. My first labor was very long. It was like over 26 hours. I was trying to go natural for most of it. So I didn't have any like epidural, any pain, anything until like hour 20 or something, because I was worried at that point. My water had already broken to kick off labor. So it had been so many hours. I was worried about it turning into a cesarean if I did not take the epidural to relax. I just wasn't dilating, in a nutshell. And I took the epidural. I did dilate to 10 centimeters. I pushed. It was all great. It was fine. But I don't even think I was, even with that long, I don't think I was that tired in labor. I was younger. Obviously, it was my youngest that I ever was, because it was my first baby. And then second and third were fine. And then this fourth delivery, I was very tired when it came to the pushing part. And I had had an epidural, so obviously you could argue the grogginess or whatever. I didn't go to sleep the night before because my contractions had started at like 10:30, and we were up watching Monday Night Football. And I was like, oh, shoot, I think we're going to be going in soon. I did try to rest. In a nutshell, I know this is not what this episode's about, but 12:30 active labor really started. And I was like, okay, I'm just not going to bed tonight. So I was very tired when it came to pushing, which was around 9:30 in the morning, to give you this time frame. This was the first time it did cross my mind during, like, when it came to the push part, where I was like, I might be too tired to finish this out. Like, this might not happen. And to put in perspective, my pushing still ended up being less than 20 minutes. I am used to, though, all three of my other babies, it was a literally like two push scenario. It was like, all right, Britt, contraction, deep breath, hold it, push. Great. One more big push. Great. Baby's here. That's how the first three went. And I do attribute a lot of that, obviously, first and foremost, like by the grace of God, because I know I'm not in control of that. Secondly, though, training through pregnancy and keeping strength training going, still having a semblance of core strength for the pushing and all of that, I do think help the mental aspect too, of like pushing through hard things. I think a lot of that helps. But however, this time I was a little bit nervous of like, wow, I have nothing left to give. And so this was an interesting study to me, that pushing through fatigue and pregnancy can correlate into the labor itself too, and being able to push through that fatigue. So praise God, it was about seven pushes this time instead of the two. And I know some of you have pushed for like over 2 hours and things like that. And again, there's all different reasons, baby positioning. I'm not just saying, oh, if you're strong, you can push, but interesting study. And I don't know, that was enough to motivate me this past birth to be like, okay, yep, that's why we keep training during pregnancy. But exercises you definitely need to have in there. Again, not talking modifications, and I'm being very general to all of pregnancy, but these are staples that I keep in my own personal routine that are in my pregnancy program that are really helpful when it does come to keeping yourself minimally in pain, I will say, maybe not pain-free during pregnancy, and that help in birth, that help with posture. This is the collection of what you want to have in there. So number one is squats. Squatting is a basic human movement, right? You're going to still be squatting down during your day to go to the bathroom, to pick things up off the floor, lots of different things. If you have little kids already, you're doing a lot of squatting down. So training it properly, training it well, making sure that you are doing the right posture with your core still involved, which we'll talk about, really important. And then especially towards the end of pregnancy, holding deep squats, doing deep breaths down there to kind of stretch and get ready, get that area ready to be, you know, lengthening and relaxing and whatnot. So squats throughout and then holding deep squats towards the end of pregnancy, really great. A lot of people end up giving birth like in a squat, you know, and having that form of gravity. I find it helpful too, with just, you're weakened after labor and delivery. And I think if you don't I've never had that experience where I've stopped squatting or stopped doing low body work. I think it, I would only assume that it helps you to get right, not right back into things, because we gotta, you know, ease in. But I'm just talking daily life, being able to get out in and out of bed in those days after delivery. I think a lot of it, you know, it's helpful to have a strong low body base with that. So in that vein, the next low body exercise, the only other one I'm going to talk about that is important to have in here, and there's a lot, there's other ones I keep doing, but these I really try to boil down the essentials: hip thrusts and glute bridges. And why I prioritize these, because I still do RDLs, which I'm not going to talk about today. You can, again, check that out. You could look at my Instagram too, for I have a pregnancy workout highlight. So I show a lot of what I do. And I noticed that a lot of my workouts, especially towards the end, were squatting and RDLs. But I just don't show the hip thrusts and glute bridges as much, because honestly, they're just not a flattering thing to post. You're like, what is going on there? But especially with a big old bump in the way, and you're like, okay, this looks like a whale trying to get up out of the water, you know. However, vanity aside, hip thrusts and glute bridges are super important. And they do strengthen and tone your glutes and your hamstrings. So again, supporting that low body. And that's important, because if you're carrying so much weight front and you're not strengthening the back of the core as well, which leads into the next one, you're going to have imbalance problems. But another reason hip thrusts or glute bridges are very important are because they actually are a sneaky way to keep strengthening and relaxing the pelvic floor. So I don't, in my pregnancy program, specifically say these are pelvic floor exercises. There is a little bonus resource part where I do and encourage, you know, using that in conjunction with the workouts. But because so much of the main workouts, I incorporate and include pelvic floor work and breath work right as part of it. This is one way you're strengthening and contracting and releasing those muscles, because both are important. You don't want to just contract. You also need to release. Contracting and releasing those muscles when you're doing a hip thrust or when you're doing glute bridge, even if you're not thinking about it and thinking this is a pelvic floor exercise, it is. So hip thrusts and glute bridges are important. Next up, like I mentioned, you're carrying so much front weight, so you want to balance that out with working the back of the core. Working your back is very important. Lots of muscles back there. You've got your lats, you've got your rhomboids, you've got a lot going on even within those muscles. You've got the major and the minor and all these things. To make it very general, forms of rowing is going to be really good for your posture and for working those back muscles. And usually, at least in my experience, working them helps relieve pain and whatnot too. This is not, you know, going to hurt your back, or again, it should just do the opposite, where if strong back is a healthy back. So if you need to turn to get a kid out of a car seat, or you need to bend down, pick something up, it's keeping you in the game. That is pretty much my intention during pregnancy, is to just keep myself in the game, where I feel good, I can move well. It's more about like quality of life during the day than trying to really get stronger or really, you know, you're not going to get the fastest you've ever been, all those things. But it's about not just labor and delivery. We're not just bouncing back and physically, you know, we're not gaining a lot of weight during pregnancy. It's about how you can move during that day as a pregnant person, because it would be very miserable, especially those of us who have gone through multiple pregnancies. And I know some of you listening are on your like 6th, 7th, 8th pregnancy, or are past that season of life, but have had a ton of kids. Yet I've had 4 thus far. I can't imagine just scrapping that year of life, basically being like, well, that's the year I just felt like trash. I am telling you honestly, and you might be here, or you might be a person who loves pregnancy, I don't love being pregnant. I do think everything's harder. It's hard to tie your shoes. You're out of breath. Thick. There's a lot, you know, I have heartburn like every day. So there's a lot of things. And I'm like, I don't understand how people say they like this, because everything, in my opinion, is just harder. Like the kicks are cute. And then at the end, people are nice to you. I definitely experienced that this time around. But overall, like I would just prefer the baby without the pregnancy part. Right. However, I don't like to scrap that year and be like, well, then I'm just going to waddle around and be in pain all the time. And just like, if you could have, say, a scale of 1 to 10, if doing a little bit of exercise a couple times a week like this, doing some squats, some rows, keeps you at like feeling a 7 out of 10 or 8 out of 10, isn't that better than a 1 or 2 out of 10? Because it is, in my opinion, for fatigue, for all these things. So we've talked about so far squats, hip thrusts or glute bridges, some kind of back rows. I end up favoring a lot of standing banded rows, where if you have an anchor point, you can put a band around an anchor point and row back towards your body where you're standing. You don't have to bend over. that's my preference, especially towards the end of pregnancy. But I still do include unilateral rows where I'm bracing with a hand on something and rowing one arm at a time with a dumbbell or kettlebell. Two more things that I'm going to talk about: core inclusion and stretching. So you've got to keep these in your routine as well. What I mean by core inclusion is I do not work the core directly. If you're going to do my program or you do any of my workouts during pregnancy that are pregnancy specific, I'm not going to have you purposely holding a long plank or purposely doing crunches or something, but I do include like cardio moves that have an element of core support to them. Like there's a can-can move in one of my cardio workouts in the pregnancy program, or say squat thrusts where you're going up, down, stepping out, coming in, or stepping both feet together out, coming in, kind of like a burpee, but not a burpee. These include your core. These work your core, even the strengthening exercises like an overhead press or like drive the bus, I call it in there, where you push a dumbbell out front, turn it, pull it back in. That involves your core without directly working it. Like that is not the point of the exercise, but your core is included. That's what I mean by core inclusion. So it keeps your core in the game. It's still being strengthened and your muscles are still having to kick in. Even any strength training is typically, if you're doing it right, involves your core. You're bracing your core to do it. So it keeps those deep core muscles in the game all through your pregnancy, but in a safe way. If you do too much or sometimes any direct core, like crunching and things, you might force your abs to split apart more than they even would naturally. Everybody's abs naturally separate during pregnancy by the end, but you might force that sooner if you're doing direct core work. So I nix the direct core, but I do keep the core in the game, if that makes sense. And lastly, stretching is important. Overstretching is also a concern because you have a lot of relaxant in your body to let things move around, your ribs shift, your hips shift, all that stuff. So it's easy to overstretch. You want to find that line again of stretching, not overstretching. I always do this at the end of strength training workouts. So if you're doing the videos, the free ones or the program, you're going to see the stretchings at the end because you should warm up those muscles first. There's some specific stretching days. So you get that nice, just relaxing kind of thing. There's in the pregnancy program too, make sure you're using this if you're in it. There's that bonus section and resource section where I show you a couple deep stretches for especially the last trimester, but you can use them anytime. They really help me with alleviating low back pain and piriformis tightness, which is your deep glute muscle. That tends to get super tight in pregnancy from, again, the way we're carrying and walking around and things like that. So stretching, super important. And also because so much of labor and delivery is about relaxing just as much as like the push and the intensity you want, especially those of you who do this without medicine, I have heard that you can, you know, use your deep breathing and your meditative things and allow your body to open up on its own. Again, that has not been my experience, where I do truly feel like I am so dialed up and keyed up that I cannot dilate without it. I even this pregnancy was like, maybe I will not take the epidural because maybe I will just relax. I mean, like I did try to like get into some natural breathing things and whatever. And then when I came in at 4 centimeters and hours later, I was still 4 centimeters. I was like, all right, but just give it to me. I need to get to that 10. But stretching, obviously, for anyone, whatever way you're going to give birth is important. And even if you know you're having a scheduled C-section, stretching is still super important for relaxing and for not carrying stress around in your upper body. There's a stretch, I think I've shown it on my Instagram, but it's definitely in the bonus for the pregnancy program and in postpartum under stretching, as angel wings, where you lay down on your back, you put the top of your hands up by your shoulders and you're lying down your back and you take your arms up toward each other to kind of touch your fingertips overhead, kind of like a snow angel, but you're not really winging out to the side. You're going from bent to straightened overhead. Feels really good for pulling back those shoulders because you're a lot of pregnancy forward shouldered. And then you are a lot like that if you are holding baby and nursing, especially postpartum. So I start doing those during pregnancy. I don't think I ever stopped doing them from the last kid, and they're great for anybody because a lot of us tend to be forward shoulder. All right. I can talk about this stuff all day, so I'm not going to, but I hope this was helpful. Go check out those resources. If you have any questions, email me, brittany@healthycatholicmoms.com. We can, you know, personalize some things if you need to, if we need to do a coaching call with it, but the program's there. The free challenge is accessible via the link in my Instagram bio. If you don't have Instagram and you want that link, you can shoot me an email too, and I'll send you the free videos and just do it. I do not rely on feeling like you need to work out or being motivated. This is the time where I would not have worked out a single day of my pregnancy if I was waiting till I felt like I wanted to. You just have to have a zero option mentality about it and say, I'm working out 3 times a week and do it. Okay. You will feel so much better. All right. I hope you have a great rest of your day, ladies. And I will talk to you next time.